The central theme of the Yom Tov of Pesach is, of course, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the leaving of Mitzrayim, the leaving of Egypt, which we left so long ago. Now, the truth is, there's a mitzvah every day of the year to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, at least once by day and once by night, and we say it throughout the davening. We're always talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, on Pesach, this mitzvah becomes in a much greater way. And one of the differences between Pesach and the rest of the year is that the rest of the year is enough just to mention it, as we said in davening. And in Pesach, it has to be said over. As the Pasuk says, V'higada telebincha, you should say it over to your children, you should tell it over to your children, which is a primary mitzvah of the Seder night. So on one level, the reason for that is for education. Pesach is devoted to education, devoted to children. So much of the Seder is devoted to children. So Pesach, which is the birthday of the Jewish nation, where we began, and the continuity of that beginning is through educating the children and the next generation. So Pesach is devoted to chinuch, to education, and telling over the story to the next generation. However, there's something a lot deeper to it as well. And that's evidence from the fact that the Gemara tells us, and brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Halacha, that you're supposed to tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim to children. What if there's no children? You tell it over to your wife. You tell it over to your spouse. What if there's no spouse? What if you're sitting yourself? Says the Gemara, tell it over to yourself. Ask yourself questions and answer them. Now, that is telling us that there's something deeper here with this mitzvah of telling it over than just education. Because we're talking about the person sitting themselves in their own dining room or wherever it is, and they're asking themselves questions and answering them. What's the idea of telling it over to myself in a way of asking and answering? And one of the ideas in this is a very beautiful and a very deep idea. One of the things that all of us suffer from is that once we know something and we review it, it's just a review. We're just repeating or reviewing something that we heard, that we know, that's stored away in our minds. And we typically don't really relive it. It's not new and it's not fresh because it's just a review. When we have to teach it to someone else, then we're forced to start over because the other person doesn't know it. So when Hashem says on Pesach, I want you to teach the story, what he's really saying is, I don't want you just to review old material. I want you to live it anew. Teach it to someone who doesn't know it. So you have to go into the details. That person is going to ask you questions. It's going to force you to take it out of the back resources of your mind and relive it. Start over from the beginning. And here's what the halacha says. What if there's no one else to tell it over to? Then ask yourself questions and give yourself answers. What we're being told is that on this night, it's not enough to just remember something. But we have to challenge that memory. We have to ask ourselves about that memory. We have to plumb the depths of that memory to relive it and to experience it again from new. And in fact, I don't think these two ideas, the idea of education and the idea of reliving something from new, are distant at all. Because the truest form of education, perhaps the only real form of education, is when we're not just telling over a story, but we're reliving that. We're giving over our life to the next generation. And then the next generation really hears. I heard from my father that when the Torah says, Bavurze osa Hashem li, b'seisi mimitzrayim, a person says, tells his son, Hashem did this for me as I left Mitzrayim, because he's reliving it. To which child is that answer going to? So we know from the Haggadah there's four types of sons, and one of them is the She'eino Yodei Lishaal, the one who doesn't know how to ask a question. But really means not just he doesn't know how to ask, he doesn't care enough to ask. He's apathetic. So the child who's apathetic, what's the way to educate him? Said my father, that's why that child we answer with Bavur Ze'os Hashem Li. You want to try to awaken feeling, interest, care. It's only if the child really senses that you care, that you're reliving what you're saying over. You're not just doing lip service. For more than 20 years, myself and my family had the tremendous pleasure and tremendous chus of spending Pesach, or at least part of Pesach, every year with our Zaidi Rubashkin, Olav HaShalom, and Bubby, shall live and be well, and the and many people of the extended family. Zaidi Rubashkin, as many of you know, passed away this past week, within the week of Pesach. There's so much to talk about him. He was a tremendous and unique person. We could talk about his outstanding kindness, his sensitivity to each and every one. A man of happiness, always upbeat, always besimcha. A man of tremendous faith, of emunah, of bitachon, belief and faith in Hashem. A true chassid of the Rebbe. Loved the Rebbe and would do anything for him. And all in all, an Eved Hashem. Really a servant of Hashem par excellence. And there is so much to speak about him, and I'm sure it will be continued and will be spoken by many. But today, I want to talk about one aspect or one facet of who he was to me. And that is how he personified the message of Pesach. This message of not saying, not talking, but reliving, experiencing aloud for those who were around him. You know, when it comes to the Seder night, there's a special mitzvah to tell stories. Mitzvah aleinu l'sapir. The mitzvah is to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zaidi told a story like no one else that I know tell a story. He didn't just say a story. He lived the story aloud. The story was alive when he said it. He didn't start from the story part of the story. He started by describing the person of the story and telling us some background about him and where he came from and his family story. Many times it would take a number of minutes until he got around to, okay, and how that, you know, coming back to the beginning of the story. When he would tell the story, many times, and many of them were stories that he knew or saw or experienced, he would actually play out the facial expressions of the people who he was telling the story about. Many times, if the person was walking, he would get up and walk like that person walked in the story. When he said the story, he was there. He would say a story 1,000 times. There were stories he said every year, and always with the same level of emotion, the same level of living it. It's from him who I heard as a maisa, a story that's not worth telling over, is not worth saying the first time either. A story is made to be told over, said Zaidi. And every time in the story, he would start crying by the more difficult parts of the stories. He would laugh at the lighter parts of the stories as if it was the very first time he heard or said the story. Those of us who are by the table can hear him saying right now, sometime in the middle of the story, he would stop and get upset and said, "Siz kainim nishnei geya." Nobody really cares about the story. And everyone around the table would say, "No, no, no, we want to hear, we want to hear." And he would say, "No, no, no, you don't care. Siz nishnei geya." And he was right. To nobody, nobody cared about the story like he cared about the story. We were listening because it was a nice story. He didn't want us to hear nice stories. He wanted us, as Zalzayn Negeya, that the story is something that we live with, that we experience, that we're there when we hear the story. So when he would see someone's attention somewhere else or doing something else, he would say, "You're not hearing the story." Every single year on Pesach, he said a story during the Haggadah, which I'm not going to say over now because I would not do justice to it in these few minutes. It's a story that for most people would take less than 1 minute to say. It never took Zaidi less than 15. But before the story, we always had to ask him to say the story. It was like part of the tradition of the Pesach Seder. We would beg Zaidi Zogdim Maisa, say the story. And he was, "Name, Snishnigeya. It doesn't matter to anyone." And this was a yearly experience, and I'm thinking to myself, why? He wasn't the type that liked making people beg at all. He was the giver before you even asked. Why, when it came to a story, did we have to ask so much? And first I was thinking, because it was difficult for him to tell a story. He relived the story. He had to be there. He had to cry. It was hard. But really, I think it's more than that. He wanted us to want to hear the story. He didn't want to be a storyteller. He wanted a Fabring with us. He wanted us to live with him in the story. And by making us ask for it and ask again, I think that was his way of saying, do you really want? Do you really want? Do you really, really want? Okay, if you really want to hear, come with me. And I'll tell you the story. Zaidi loved a niggun, a chassidish niggun. Not the type of niggun, not the type of song that most people gravitate to that's happy and you dance and you jump around. That wasn't Zaidi's niggun at all, though he participated in that. He loved the slow, pensive, soulful chassidish niggunim. The niggunim written by Reb Hillel Parasher, the great chassid who lived almost 200 years ago. The niggunim sung over by Reb Shamshon Charitonov. The really deep niggunim that most people perhaps don't really appreciate. He loved those nigunim. He lived those nigunim. And again, when you started those nigunim, the handkerchief came right out. Our dear uncle, Yossi Gerari, whose yard site was yesterday, the 10th of Nisan, also spent, I think, all of those Pesachs until his passing with us in Borough Park in Zaidi's house. And Yossi was a master at nigunim. Yossi knew every niggun and he knew how to sing them. And he had a beautiful voice. Zaidi would turn to Yossi. He would sit on his right side on Pesach and say, Yossi, zog a niggun. Say a niggun, sing a niggun. Yossi, zog noch a niggun. Zaidi would never get tired of those beautiful niggunim because it was all part of who Zaidi was, reliving, living what others just did as a song. He lived. My children, shall live and be well, also love and know nigunim. And the last few years, Zaidi would always turn to them. Nochan nigun, nochan nigun. This year on Hanukkah, we went there to New York, as we would go on Hanukkah as well, typically. And they sat around the menorah, just, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours. Nochan nigun, nochan nigun. And like someone who was 60 years younger than he was, he would sit through another one and beg for another one and ask for another one. He lived the niggun like he lived the story. And that's Pesach. Reliving. Not retelling. Not giving over. But living it aloud. Experiencing it aloud. I want to take a moment to talk about someone who's not the subject of this conversation and without a doubt deserves his own talk to talk about him and so on. But nevertheless, because it's so connected to what we're talking about. Another great person, very close to many, who passed away this week, was the Rosh Yeshiva in New York, Rabbi Yisrael Friedman, who was a teacher of Torah to thousands or maybe tens of thousands of students over 60 years. I learned by him some 27 years ago. And what perhaps the most profound impression he made on me was the fact that on the one hand, you know, he had been learning Torah for so many years. He was so brilliant. He knew it. He really knew it all. But the freshness with which he approached a piece of Gemara and Rashi, the freshness with which he would read over every word, every nuance of a Rashi for the thousandth time, was as if it was the very first time he learned it. He never, ever tired of learning it and rereading it and reanalyzing it and digging deeper into it. He loved it. It was the first time he saw the Rashi, and he looked at the words again, and looked at the words again. What I saw in Zaidi Rabashkin when he told the story, I saw in Rabbi Yisrael Friedman when he learned the Rashi. And that's the message of Pesach to all of us, and to me, and especially this Pesach, with these great people who are so close to us, who are now taken from us physically, to learn how to live the moment. When we say over the Haggadah, when we say over or hear a story, when we sing a niggun, when we learn something, to live it. Live our Torah, live our Rebbe, live our Chassidus, live our Yiddishkeit. In that way, making it part of ourselves, and in that way, really educating the people who we're talking with as well. May Hashem give that all of these memories that are still so fresh should not have to be memories, because immediately, even before this Pesach, we should be zeichu, we should merit the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. And Hashem will heal all the broken hearts, and Hashem will wipe away everyone's tears, bring us the ultimate geula, bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, bring our loved ones back to us. May it happen today. Have a kosher and Freilich and Pesach.